It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heavy on the Eagles today with our man Elliot Sherparks. How you doing, Elliot?
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great, Elliot.
It's all good, man.
So what an awesome night last night, man. You don't see historic stuff like that often, so it was cool to get to see that.
Hold on, what does that mean?
Sarcasm from Elliot.
In what regard?
No, the JT Realmuto cycle. Right? I'm guessing that's what everybody's talking about today.
Elliot's the number one Jokic hater left in Philadelphia.
Well, you should respect him, Elliot. I mean, he did it. Joel didn't. Greek Freak didn't this year. No one else did this year.
Yeah.
Jokic was the guy this year that led his team to the title.
Yeah, he's also the guy that got handed probably the easiest path to a title we might ever see again in the NBA.
True.
And maybe ever when you consider the play-in tournament. So I think both things can be true. The Sixers could use this as motivation. I hope Joel uses it as motivation. And the Sixers probably should have beaten the Celtics in Game 6. That's true. But I don't think this means the Nuggets are way better. They're winners, and the Sixers are losers, and Jokic is way better than Embiid. I think that's an overreaction to them getting to play bad teams the entire path to their title.
Well, I will say this. I think you simplify it a little too much, but I do derive, and have said this today, Elliot, hope as a Sixers fan for the Sixers' chances in the next 2 to 3 years after seeing the Nuggets just win, because I don't think the Nuggets are much better than the Sixers. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're definitely better. I mean, they were a very good team all year, and they are a team that deserves the ring in that regard. They were very good in the regular season. They were the number one seed. But to your point, if you look at the Nuggets over the last few years, they've had a ton of playoff disappointment. They've been swept. They've been, you know, knocked out in the first round. Jokic got thrown out of an elimination game. And, you know, if Denver, you could have sat there and gone, yep, these guys are never going to get it done. They're losers. Yeah. They don't have it in them. A lot of what Sixers fans have been saying. But they didn't. They stuck with them. And I think that one thing Denver has had that Joel definitely hasn't had, but certainly the Sixers haven't had, is continuity. He's had Jamal Murray as his number two teammate for a bunch of years. He's had the same head coach. He's had a lot of the same supporting cast. I know we take this out on the Sixers, you know, the Hawks series and all these things. But this core, right, this Maxi, Harden, Embiid core has had 2 shots and really only 1 shot if you consider that the year they got Harden, it's always hard to integrate a star that late into the postseason. So that would be my message to Sixers fans this morning, that yes, it is frustrating to watch Jokic win a fake ring that no one really cares about. But I think over time, if you give the Sixers more opportunities like the Nuggets got, they will break through.
So, Elliot, do you value that continuity that you speak of so much that you'd rather have James Harden here in Philadelphia than Bradley Beal?
Well, I think it can be both. And I think there's a chance it will be both. If you look at how they get it done, Harden, you just sign. And you go over, you know, the luxury tax, whatever it is. You bring him in and you use that extra cap space. I think Bradley Beal for Tobias Harris is a deal that could definitely get done. You look at Bradley Beal's contract, it's maybe one of the worst in the entire NBA right now. Or you look at 4 years out, he's been making $57 million. He's probably regressing as a player overall. And he has a full no-trade clause. So I heard you say this earlier where he can dictate where he goes. That's the case even if you don't have a no-trade clause. But when you have that, you have even more power in the situation. Tobias Harris is a big-money expiring contract. So, I think it could be both. And I think you know, we could debate if the fit would work, but I don't think it has to be one or the other.
Elliot Short Parks with us here. Elliot, let's do a lot on the Eagles. They break from OTAs. Obviously, they got about 6 weeks off. Training camp announced now. It's July 25th when they'll reconvene. Let's start on this with the offseason. They, of course, were going to have a challenge knowing they were going to lose defensive players. Mm-hmm. To what extent do you think Howie Roseman did a good job, a great job, or not a good job in trying to replenish the defense in light of some of the lumber they lost defensively? They put a lot into it with the draft. We knew the offense was going to be great. It should be. How do you think Howie did this all season with the defense?
I think he did a really good job. There's no question that at safety, they have some players that need to prove things. And at linebacker, with the loss of their, you know, T.J. Edwards and Kaiser White, they're not as good there. But I also think we forget the fact that at a certain point last season, it looked like maybe Darius Slay and James Bradbury were going to be gone. He brought both of those back. So they returned arguably the best cornerback trio in the NFL. And then on the defensive line, they lose Javon Hargrave. Jalen Carter, we'll see. But I think probably 32 out of 32 teams would take Jalen Carter over Javon Hargrave when you take into account his salary, his upside, and what he already, his skill level already. So you could argue maybe that's an upgrade, at least maybe not right away, but maybe at some point this season. And then I really think Nolan Smith is going to be a massive upgrade for them. Last year, they didn't really have a fourth edge rusher. It was Robert Quinn. It was Derek Barnett. It was, you know, a cycling group of guys. This year, I think Nolan Smith is going to come in, and maybe he'll end up getting more than the number four defensive end snaps, but I think he will be a considerable upgrade. So there's a chance that their pass rush is going to be better than it was last year, and we all know how great it was last year. They're going to need safeties to step up. I like the Edmonds signing. We'll see if Blankenship can do it at a full time. But I don't look at this defense and go, you know, they're so short of talent, they're going to take a step back. I think losing the coordinator matters and the opponents matter. But from a skill perspective, I don't think they've taken a massive step back whatsoever.
All right, Elliot, before the next question to you, John, I got to ask you a follow-up to what Elliot just said. Do you agree with him there that Javon Hargrave, let's say he's got his head screwed on straight, at a cheaper salary.
Jalen Carter.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jalen Carter. Head screwed on straight at a cheaper salary can be more valuable and therefore better than Javon Hargrave, who just got paid $80 million and many people thought was the third best free agent in the entire marketplace. You buy that, John?
No, I
don't either.
I can't.
I mean, it's not impossible,
but
Elliot,
but it's not going to happen.
It just seems far-fetched this early.
Well, Javon Hargrave got paid like one, I mean, a top three D tackle.
I mean, every once in a while, a rookie comes in and dominates. Javon Kearse did 20 years ago with the Titans, but the chances that, you know, that Jalen Carter comes in and dominates the way Javon Hargrave just did, I find that hard to believe.
So Javon Hargrave was very good last year, and he got paid like it. But Javon Hargrave also played on a very good defensive line with a ton of talent around him. I think that's part of it. So I think Jalen Carter is set up to succeed to come in here. And he has to prove it. He's a rookie. Yes. You were right about that. But I also think the point I was trying to make was 32 out of 32 GMs to me would take Jalen Carter because of his age and because of his upside and because of his salary. Like, I think Jalen Carter at his salary is a better use of resources than Javon Hargrave. But what's he making? Almost $20 million a year. We saw Hargrave. He was very good last year. Was he even like the second or third best lineman on there? Hassan Reddick was really good. Josh Sweat was really good. Fletcher Cox, I thought, was really good rushing the passer. So I do think it's possible they can replace that production they got from Javon Hargrave
so,
next year.
Offensively speaking, I think we got some fishy posturing from Nick Sirianni on Quez Watkins last week. Which slot receiver ran with the starters the last day of OTAs?
So a couple things on that. One, the last day of OTAs, not a lot of guys were there, to be completely honest. So I don't know if it was a really good look as to, you know. But the first day of OTAs, we were there when A.J. Brown was there. Quez was there. Quez was clearly ahead of OZ, as Sirianni calls him, on the depth chart. So I do think Quez is ahead of him. But to your thing about posturing, if there was any other head coach, I would agree with you, to go up there and say, Quez has had a great offseason and we really believe in him and all those things. I would agree that most head coaches or even GMs would go, yeah, they're trying to trade him and they're hyping up his value. But I think that's just who Sirianni is. I think he's very aware of the fact that Quez knows he's been under a lot of criticism this offseason. And fans were really, you know, disappointed with how he played last year. And frankly, Quez was disappointed. He said that at his locker after the season ended. he himself said, which I don't think I've ever heard a player say, he took a step back last year. So I think Sirianni, one of his strengths is being in tune with his players, knowing what they need to hear, really getting that kind of emotional intelligence, to quote Jeffrey Lurie, side of the business. So I don't think that was him up there saying, oh, maybe we'll get a fifth instead of a sixth for Quez. Now, I think he knew that Quez wanted to hear that and needed to hear it, and that's what I think it was.
Elliot, Miles Sanders took a step forward last year until he took a big step back in the postseason. His comments about being disappointed to not get more touches in the Super Bowl seems totally delusional to me. What's your takeaway from what he said?
Yeah, it's interesting because he was their number one running back all year, and I thought he had a very good year.
He did.
And this year we'll find out, was his production the result of Jalen and the offensive line, or was Miles maybe undervalued by, you know, this fan base and the way they're viewing him as a completely replaceable piece? So on one hand, I do agree with Miles that it would be frustrating to work all season to be the number one guy all year, and then in the biggest game of the year, a game that he's been, you know, working for his whole life, to not get the ball. Like, I completely understand that on a personal level. But I think Miles also needs to be realistic and know he basically fumbled the ball the first two times he touched it in that game.
Yep.
And that Kenny Gainwell had been playing well. So I think both things can be true. Miles can be upset. The Eagles will be correct for how they handled it. But one thing that isn't true is what he said about ask him why I'm not here.
Yeah.
The Eagles were never going to give him $12 million guaranteed. That's just, they weren't going to do it. So I think he's in Carolina because of the money. I don't think it's because, you know, the Eagles like hated him as a player or anything. I think at the right price, they would have brought him back. But Carolina gave him the biggest contract any running back got this offseason, and that's why he's in Carolina.
By the way, I'll add this, Elliot. If the Eagles gave Miles the impression during 2022 that he might be back in 2023, I consider that a good job by the Eagles. I mean, you got to keep a guy motivated, want to be part of the team, want to be part of the organization, playing his best. And if they gave him, I'm just saying,
it's
like, but guys, I get that, John, but I'm saying, like, we all knew Miles Sanders was gone. We knew that. This is not breaking news to us. But if this was a shock to him, then either him and his agent, like, don't have their head screwed on straight, or the Eagles did a pretty damn good job of saying, Miles, play it out. Let's see what happens.
I don't agree. You could also say that's terrible communication.
No, but they got the best out of them.
I do. But
that's
I think the contract year is
the biggest thing there. Clearly he's motivated.
No, I don't think there's no benefit to telling Miles midway through the year, yeah, you're probably not back. Right. So I think that obviously giving the impression, and I don't think it's a fake impression, they like Miles Sanders as a running back. It showed throughout the years he was here. He was their clear cut number one running back whenever he was healthy. So they did like him. And so from that regard, I think that was removed. But also, I don't think any of us would have sat here at any point last season and said Miles Sanders was going to have, I think it's like the seventh or eighth most guaranteed money in the NFL at the running back position. Like, he got paid, I think, way more. And frankly, probably even he thought. So I think that's part of it, too.
So who do the coaches like the most at right guard?
Well, I think they're definitely going to give Cam Jurgens the first shot. While Cam Jurgens is undersized, he is for sure. One thing I keep coming back to is prior to the draft, and I know when Howie talks, you can certainly take it with, you know, a whole salt shaker with these comments. But he talked about how at the offensive line, he likes elite physical traits. And he went through the line. He talked about Mailata and Lane and Kelsey and Landon Dickerson. And he mentioned Cam Jurgens. And he does have an elite physical trait, which is he is extremely athletic for a right guard. The backup right now is Tyler Steen. I like him as a prospect. I think he was a good pick where they got him. I'm not sure he has an elite physical trait. You could argue maybe his lower body is really strong. But in terms of being, you know, having great size or being a great athlete, he doesn't have that. So I think they want Cam Jurgens to win this job, and I do think they like him. So right now I would say he is the heavy favorite and the one the coaches want and like the most at that position.
Elliot, nice job, bud. Looking forward to training camp, which we now know July 25th, and we'll be talking about it up until then and long after then as well. Elliot, great stuff. Thanks, pal.
Yep, no problem. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. It's 94.